I hear sound. But the distraction.
I can't understand you with all those honey nut checks in your mouth. Mike, quit enjoying those honey nut checks.
No.
So well.
No. Good. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so crunchy.
This episode brought to you by Chex.
All right, we're done.
Podcast for December 9th, 2016, the day after my birthday. I'm old now, I'm 30.
You're 30. Jeez, that 30. Makes me feel older than when I turned 30.
Man, how old was I when I started this show? Like 22? 21?
2007, you were 22.
That's funny.
No, wait.
21
doing,
maybe.
Am I doing math bad?
I was
you were 20. 2007?
2007. That was 9 years ago. So 21.
Yeah, but it was in August.
Well, that's where it gets difficult, and now I don't want to think about it anymore.
You were 20.
Okay, I was young. Man. So, yeah. Okay, wow. So, yeah. So, welcome to the show. This is weird to believe we're going to have, like, our 10-year anniversary coming up here at some point.
Yeah, this August. Wow.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Yeah. That's weird.
All right. So, yeah. So, we're going to talk about some of our favorite Christmas movies this week, because we're all in the spirit. I put my tree up, which, like, I was a little late to that, because I was in Florida. It's like, once you put the tree up, then you're kind of in that Christmas spirit finally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the tree's up. We're going to talk about that. And AJ got his touch controls for the Oculus, so he's going to sure go on about that for more than I care.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I guess, you know, what is your favorite Christmas movie? Let's start there, then we can kind of work way backwards.
Gosh.
What is number one? I'll mute my phone.
You know what? Home Alone.
This is funny, because my favorite is probably Home Alone 2.
So and here's the thing. I watched Home Alone more recently than I've watched Home Alone 2.
It is. It does kind of work like that with those two movies,
right?
Doesn't it?
I mean, can we just say the Home Alone duology? Because I don't count those other two.
No, sure. I mean, they're both fantastic. Yeah, what I like about them is they're about as, like, almost like... It's like they're big in some weird way, right? Like, in a kind of strange blockbuster way. You don't make family blockbusters like that anymore, right?
Well, because John Hughes isn't around anymore. I mean, basically, all those movies that, you know, that he did were the similar tone. That, you know, they can't make movies like that anymore.
No,
for
they
no
really
reason.
Don't. Yeah. But it's because, and they're still it's like, they're not, like, sometimes obnoxiously Christmas movies, right? Like, they're not about Santa Claus or, like, we don't go to North Pole, but they are... Definitely Christmas movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you can't argue. I mean, there's certainly a holiday component. Like, they lose something if they took place any other time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first movie, there's that scene where he goes to the Santa as he's leaving.
No,
the
setting is very important.
Yeah, you know, he wants his family back for Christmas and all that.
I guess the reason why I like two, I mean, they're very similar movies, right? The setup and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Things I like about two, one, you have Tim Curry in it.
Well, sure.
Which is great. And you're a pizza.
In Rob Schneider,
yeah. I just like it, you know how sometimes when a movie takes place in like Las Vegas or like New York, you almost feel like a mini vacation. Mm-hmm. Like there's all these parts where like the character goes and sees the sights. I'm like, oh, yeah,
check it out. Yeah, it's New York City,
right? He's like going to this hotel, just like stuff like that. Like when he goes to that big toy store, it's like, oh my gosh. Like the violence was already over the top in the first one. In the second one, they take it to full on Tom and Jerry levels, which you almost think might be bad, but it's like fantastic,
much better.
It's like great, like just like the like. In fact, you almost become desensitized to one. It's like it seems mild in comparison.
Compared to what they go through in two.
Yeah. Oh, we put a spider on the guy's head. Yeah. And two, he's like electrocuted and turned into a skeleton. It's hilarious. I still die every time Marv's just eating bricks to the head. Like, you know what kill him. He's like,
so good.
Then later when he's on the roof and he's out, he's like, eat brick, kid. Just misses.
Just entirely.
This is absolutely horrible. But there's just so many like great lines and moments from those two movies. If you have to be like, you can only watch one Christmas movie, it's going to be one of the Home Alones.
Mm-hmm.
And it might, it probably would be two, but like, that might depend on my mood that day. I think it helped too that I was like a little older when two was like in theaters. Like, I remember seeing two in the theaters, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I really remember seeing one in the theaters. Like, I remember it being a thing. But, yeah, I'm glad those movies have kind of held the test of time a bit. Like, they seem to be pretty much on the...
Yeah, well, they've gotten past that awkward phase where you're looking like, oh, this feels, like, kind of, like, outdated. And now it's just, like, yeah, it's like a 90s movie. Like, right. We used to think of 80s movies.
Yeah, there is always that strange phase, huh?
Yeah, like there was a time where the Talk Boy was dumb because it was old, but now it's, like, retro.
The Talk Boy. Oh, we had a Talk Boy.
Yeah, Talk Boy, hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that movie definitely sold us on that. I mean, you can also be a bit more cynical about, like, too, right? Because it is, like, the same structure, and it is, like, trying to sell you a toy and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's still just so much fun. Mm. It's hard to be upset about it. But, yeah, Home Alone's up there. So, okay, so what else would you like is, like, consideration level for you?
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation is always a fun one to watch. I don't know if I like it quite as much as some people.
My in-laws, we're doing it this Sunday. In fact, we all watch it together every year, so fine. We're going there Sunday to watch that, get some pizza and wings and do that, so that'd be fun. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you watch movies like that where you almost have, like, too much empathy levels and you start feeling too bad for the main character.
Well, now I do.
Right?
I didn't used to.
Like, I have that problem sometimes, like, oh, this poor man just wants to have a nice Christmas. And it kind of all works out in the end anyway.
Right, that's where you get hope.
Which one, like, I like, but feel like I don't like as much I'm supposed to, is Christmas Story.
Can I admit something?
Oh, wow, you don't like it at all.
I like it.
I like it.
I don't, like, hate it.
It's something with, like...
It's not like, oh, everyone stop what you're doing and Christmas Story's on. Maybe it's because I didn't grow up that time and it's, like, so foreign to me.
I think a part of it is...
I think that's a large part of it. It's just kind of boring.
And in our area, it's kind of a... It was, like, a Cleveland thing, too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of boring to me.
Like, I don't mind it. I like it, but there are other things I would rather watch.
Yeah. Obviously, Elf, I think is a very...
Yeah, Elf is actually one of my favorites,
good
too.
One, especially for more modern
films. Well, that's what's interesting is that it's really, I think, the only Christmas movie to come out in the last, like 20 years or so that really has become, like, a Christmas movie staple, right?
Yeah.
Kind of getting older. It used to be as the only modern one. And that movie came out in the early 2000s. It's getting kind of old.
2004?
Yeah, it's getting older itself.
Yeah. You know they wanted to do a sequel and offered Will Ferrell like $30-some million, and he turned it down. He was like, no.
Yeah, I think it would be a bad idea.
Let this be a thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart. But no, that is a very fun movie. It is kind of fun because it, like, kind of makes fun of itself, but at the end of the day, it's still, like, sincere, you know, which is nice. But yeah, like... And that's kind of like a little sidetrack here, but like all these Christmas movies have come out since then, and just none of them is sick.
What's that one out now? The Office Christmas Party?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be awful.
Like, remember Fred Claus? We thought would be a thing with Vince Vaughn and Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, which I did finally watch. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it's also like it's very forgettable.
Right. There was like Arthur by the Aardman people.
Mm-hmm.
You had there was like another Christmas Carol with the Jim Carrey one. It was like fine, but like
that was fun. Except the third act was all wrong.
Yeah, it got kind of weird.
Well, it's like. They're like, oh, Ghost of Christmas Future is pretty scary. Let's make it funny for the kids and we'll shrink them and give them a chipmunk voice. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You're losing all the impact now.
Like,
it became like a weird roller coaster ride for some reason.
I'm actually surprised that Poor Express movie has like a bit more traction than I would have thought it would have.
You have never seen that?
It's not, I mean, I didn't like it. It's not that good. And I'll tell you what, damn, it's very strange because it's like the first movie that did that
motion capture. Yeah, the whole Dead Eye thing.
Right. And it's kind of like off-putting sometimes almost. It's a little Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's okay. It has its moments. It was one of those, and I kind of, same thing with the Christmas Carol, the same people. It's very like a roller coaster ride of a movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sequence of people just like falling. Shit. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of that. This isn't free. Dude, look at it. It's like, yeah, one long take of people like on literally like a track and like, oh, we're like on a roller coaster. I'm like, okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
One I like that a lot of people don't. I never understood why. I like the new Grinch with Jim Carrey.
I think people, a lot of people are coming around on that actually.
Oh, really?
A bit more
good.
Now it seems like these days.
I've always enjoyed it.
I'm not a huge, I'd rather just watch the original special, but yeah, it's fun. It's kind of strange because it does that thing that like movies do where they try to be a live action cartoon and it can kind of be strange.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I also appreciate like if they made that movie today, the Grinch would be a CG motion capture.
Sure, no, the makeup is really good,
and yeah, it's like I think it's one of the best makeup and costumes like in a movie. Right. So
and
yeah,
like I think Jim Carrey does a good job, but there are still times where it's like more Jim Carrey than the Grinch. You know, It's like Jim Carrey suddenly is able to do all these impersonations and. It's almost more like the genie in a lot of ways. Kind of, it's like a very genie-esque character. Like, yeah, it kind of works, I guess. So kind of going back to certain things. One of my other favorite ones is the original Santa Claus of Tim Allen.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that's that always. I always like watching that one. That's always fun. That's back with Tim Allen in his like prime.
Oh, but what about what really is the greatest Christmas movie of all time? Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way is fun. That's another one too. Where it's like for a while it's like kind of a joke, and now it's like, you know what? I could watch this every year.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's great. I mean, we think about it, it's not like it's more, like any more stupid than other Christmas movies.
No, I think that was the thing. Like, I think when it came out, we were a little older, so like we liked it.
We're a little cynical,
but
like,
yeah, we were already getting like, oh, this is kind of dumb, though.
And now
it's like it's just as dumb. I mean, anything else.
It's basically the same like structure as a lot of these movies, even Santa Claus. Right? We have like the father who like is losing sight of what's really important at Christmas time and is too into his work and blah blah blah. And right. He, yeah, right.
Yeah, when you think about it, they're the same movie. Except instead of becoming Santa Claus, he becomes Turbo Man. Right?
And it was, because it was, it's another thing that just really reminds me of the 90s, because 90s was when you had those, like, super hot Christmas items.
Yeah, the whole Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo and the Tamagotchi. And, like, you have that a little bit now, but, like, the Tickle
NES
Me.
NES Classic.
Yeah, but, like, the Tickle Me Elmo was, that was just, like, out of control from what I remember. So, it kind of just brings me back to that a little bit. But, yeah, Santa Claus 1, great. The sequel is not so good.
I've never seen 3.
3 is not very good. I mean, they get worse. So.
Yeah. Which is the one with the weird robot version? Is that 2?
I think it is.
Well, it must be if I've seen it.
So, yeah, part of them like get mixed up. 2 is when he tries to get a wife. Like, I've seen both of them just at once.
Yeah, which was a weird concept. Like, you got 2 weeks to meet and marry somebody.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
A little weird.
Right. I mean, I guess you get desperate. You can just buy a wife. Something's weird.
Yeah, Russian mail order bride. Problem solved.
Right. If it came down to it, I mean, you know, that's awful and everything, but it was like either that or never become Santa Claus again.
Right.
There's that, and then there was, like, the third one was when he fought Jack Frost being played by Martin Short.
Yeah, that one just looked
very
awful.
Strange. Niles is in all of them, though. Or Nails, whatever his name. Niles? You know, the jerk father-in-law. Or stepdad. Not step-jerk.
Oh, Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
That's the actor.
Well, I don't know. But is that, what, his first name Judge?
Yeah.
No.
No, great series of jokes in Arrested Development came out of that.
What else is he in?
Arrested Development.
is that it?
No, he's in... What's he in? He's in things.
Yeah, I don't believe you. All right. So how about like some of like the classic movies? Do you like any of those a lot?
You know, it's weird. It's a Wonderful Life.
I like It's a Wonderful Life a lot.
Yeah, so like that one's good. Never really seen Miracle on 34th Street.
I always see bits and pieces of
it. Yeah, me too. And the remake they did with John Hammond from Jurassic Park. I've seen bits, but never the whole thing. White Christmas is good.
Mom's favorite movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Mm-hmm. What other like old classics are there?
I mean, there's like a million versions of Christmas Carol, but there's really just two that I like a lot that I'll watch. Like every year, if I can, the Muppets
Christmas movie, which is my favorite.
That's like maybe just like a top five Christmas movie for me too. I mm-hmm. love that movie.
Yeah, I watch that every Christmas.
Great
Eve.
Music. When I was in Disney World, they have like their Christmas party thing at Magic Kingdom, and they have the part where like all the characters are on the stage and they're doing the little show and they're all singing their songs, right? Like, you know, it's like what you would expect, just like normal Christmas songs. Like the Three Caballeros came out, they said Feliz Navidad. Then the final song was a song from Muppet's Christmas Carol, the one that the Ghost from Christmas Present sings. You know, it's in the singing of a street corner choir. It feels like Christmas, it's called.
Yeah.
And they were singing that. I was like, what? I never heard that song out of anywhere except for them. Like, oh yeah, it's cool. So I was a very big fan of that. But yeah, that one and the other Christmas Carol, which is great, is the Patrick Stewart
version. Yeah, which... We had a DVD of that. I don't know where it went.
Sure, just Amazon it now. Yeah, but that is fantastic. Because, like the Muppet Christmas Carol one is great because it has all these great songs and the Muppets are funny and all stuff. The Patrick Stewart one is, like, is closer to the book, and Patrick Stewart's performance is just awesome in
it. So. Honorable mention goes to Mickey's Christmas Carol.
I mean, it's fine. It's just short.
It's short, but it's good for kids.
There's, like, some weird ones that are better than you expect. There's, like, a Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that
one's
really good.
That's, like, really good.
That one's actually really good.
There's, like, a Flintstones special they did once that was pretty good.
You like Scrooged?
I've never seen Scrooged. I was just talking about
it. I saw it in college, and I honestly don't remember it super well. But I remember thinking, the performances are good, but I think the script thought it was being a little too clever.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that one. I mean, I feel like I should, you know, I'm sure it's fun. Just in general, I feel like the 80s Christmas movies are something I don't know too. Like, 90s I know super well, because we grew up.
Obviously.
And here's, like, the one that's always, like, is it a Christmas movie or isn't it? Is Die Hard. And
I say, why not?
I used to be very against it, and now I'm like, you know what? This is a movie that I definitely would rather watch at Christmas time.
Yeah. Like if you're going to break it out.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, my argument is it's not really about Christmas, but
it just happens to take place at Christmas.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I mean, the Christmas stuff is relevant a lot. Like, it is brought up pretty constantly. And I mean, it also is, like, one of the greatest action movies ever anyway, so sure, why not watch it?
Why not?
But yeah, I'm at this point now where it's like, yeah, it's kind of, like, I'm starting to, like, associate with Christmas more, so I'm like, yeah, you know, why not, whatever. Then, I guess after that, you kind of get into, like, the specials zone. What's, like, the all-time great Christmas special?
Probably Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I was about to say, you still have to go with Charlie Brown.
Okay, I find Rudolph kind of dull.
What?
I like it still, but for some reason, for me, it hasn't aged as well.
I don't know, I like Rudolph, but there's a lot of nostalgia there, but like, I like Rudolph probably more than any of those other, what is that company called? It's like on the tip of my tongue, but you know.
Yeah.
It had all those things, like, they have a lot of them. I remember Santa Claus come to town. I remember one time I was like up real late and they showed like a real like C-list one of theirs. It was like about Jack Frost that I had never seen.
Oh, I saw that as a kid. I remember that. It was really good. My favorite one of those is The Year Without Santa.
Year Without Santa is
because
great.
Because Heatmeister and Freezemeister are just the best.
They had like their own, they did like a new one about those two characters like a few years ago.
Yeah, no one watched it.
Right?
No one fell for that. They also did the live action remake. Which I, out of curiosity, I was like, well, let's see how they handled Heatmeister and Freezemeister. Not well.
No.
Well, Harvey Fierstein played the Heatmeister, which I was like, that could be good. He was like, he was chewing scenery by the bucket.
Yeah,
it was so overwrought. And for some reason, like, instead of like the little imps who were there, it was like a bunch of bikini clad chicks, which felt just kind of
icky.
I like what they did with Freezemeister. They kind of made him like a, he kind of looked like a 60s swinger kind of thing.
No, okay.
That actually kind of worked.
Right.
It was just,
yeah, there you go. Disney's been making a bunch of things. He had like a,
Once and Twice Upon Christmas are both very good.
Prep and Landing, I like, but I feel like they try to make it more of a thing than it really is. Like, it's all kind of strange when they have that Christmas show at Hollywood Studios right now, right? Like, the hosts of it are those three characters from Prep and Landing. You almost got this sense of, like, a lot of people are like, what is this? Because they're, like, in, like, the whole thing, you know? Well, because, I mean, they kind of did it a little late, the whole, like, ABC-only Christmas special. And it's like, how many people are watching, like, ABC?
Yeah.
What about Shrek the Halls?
Yeah, Shrek the Halls isn't bad.
But great name.
Yeah. It's worth it just for that scene where he's, like, trying to get a Christmas present for the stores closed. And it's playing whatever that epic song is that everyone uses, but it's... It's Christmas time.
No.
They did another Christmas special that was not good.
But Shrek did?
Yeah, there was like this DreamWorks did a thing. Jessica was playing it for the girls just as background noise, but it was like there was a How to Train Your Dragon one that wasn't bad. There was a Shrek one that was awful, and there was a Madagascar one that was dumb, and a Penguins one that was even dumber. The Dragon one was pretty good.
No. What are they? Are they celebrating straight up Christmas?
I forget what they called it, but basically all the it was some sort of winter holiday related to the friendship of dragons or something.
Speaking of Christmas specials where they celebrate weird holidays that aren't Christmas, the Star Wars Christmas special.
I tried to watch it once and couldn't get.
We got it. I think we need to drink heavily is the key.
Oh, it's just, it's really bad.
There's like a 30-minute sequence of the Wookiees who can't talk, like, just walking around their homes.
It's like one of those things, it's not even bad, it's good. It's just bad.
It's weird.
It's so terrible.
It's so, that was like the first, like,
the funny thing is, the only part of it I did like was Bea Arthur. That was the best part.
That's kind of funny. It's just a thing, because it starts like, welcome to the Star Wars Holiday Special, starring Mark Hamill.
Yeah, it's like, way to what the heck ruin is the happening? Veil of illusion. Like, what the hell?
What is going on? It's just so funny that happened.
I mean, you read, like, the history of how that got made, right?
Yeah, but a bit of it.
Because I guess, like, the people who made it, they came from a background of making, like, these weird, cheesy, used to be on the 70s, like, there was a word for what these were. Where you just have like a bunch of performers come on and sing a song.
Yeah, variety show.
Variety show, that's the one, thank you. So it's like,
kind of like back when like the Muppets and all that stuff. in the Sullivan. Speaking of other specials, the Muppets did a lot of other ones that are just like, you know, TV specials or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, some of them are like fine or good, like Letters to Santa or whatnot. The one I always really liked, especially as a kid, was that one. I forget, I can't remember what it's called, but they're just like all in a cabin. And like the Sesame Street characters are there too. And at one point, the Fraggle Rock characters show up. Don't you remember this?
I do remember, but you're right. I just remember the setting. I can't remember what happens.
I remember we had a VHS when we were really little of like Sesame Street Christmas special thing. And there's two things I can remember from it. That's a bit of Big Bird skating around, uh-huh. and then Bert and Ernie did the whole what's that Christmas story called where it's like you get like, oh man, I got you your a pie, but you traded in your pie filling to get me a, you know.
I don't know why
I live in pie. That, it has the gift of the Magi. Gift of the Magi, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got you a pie crust, but you already...
You traded your pie filling
to get me a hat, but I traded in my head to get you the hat. Like, one of those things. And then, yeah, like, the guy who they traded it to was like, your power of love is there.
Here's your stuff back.
So yeah, I was like, you remember how old that was?
I mean, I have the vaguest recollection of it, so it must be pretty damn old.
Oh yeah. Oh, and I can't forget now the greatest Christmas special ever. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Gotta get a gift for Splinter.
And my friend, I didn't even watch it when I was little. My friend found this VHS in a garage sale like 10 years ago now. And it was back when, like, the Turtle Crisis was pretty big in, like, the early 90s. It was after the movie came out. So they're like, so it's a Christmas special with, like, the live-action Turtles, but, like, not the ones from the movies.
No.
Very cheaply made. Not the voices. Awful voices. And it's just, like, they're in the sewer. They're singing a lot of Christmas songs. They just replace the words, like, with pepperoni and, like, pizza.
It's
like,
ninja.
Like, the one opening song is deck the halls with pepperoni. There's at one point they do the rap rap, where they rap about rapping presents.
That's pretty good.
Oh, it's all great. Oh, it is fantastic.
Five.
Yeah, they give their gifts for Splinters. And the plot is that they forgot to get a gift for Splinters, so they had to go get one. It is fantastic. Just go on YouTube now. I think this is all on there. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas Special. It is just so good.
It's something else.
Me and my friends, we actually, every year when we can, we even wrote like additional turtle Christmas songs. Because we go to our friend's house and we sing them. And there's four of us.
I'll get your four strands of crepe paper.
Yeah. And then I wrote more of them. I took the best.
And everyone, I need to be clear. They legit put on Christmas festive clothing, wrapped crepe paper headbands for the four colors, and go door to door and sing these songs.
Oh, yeah. That's how much I love this.
I need you to understand this is a literal thing that happens.
Yeah. The best was I got joy to the world when I made about Baxter Stockman, the scientist who turned into a bug. Baxter Stockman. He is a bug. He also invented the Mauser. At the end, like, you know how it usually comes in, it's like really big, like, hey, rules the world. We all die when we try to see it. So we all scream.
He is a bug
with a human brain. Just us screaming, he is a bug. Yeah, that's a great. That's like the best Christmas tradition ever. Yeah, you especially watch this video. It is so hilarious. It's like this is like the height of turtles. It's just like I can't believe the budget for it was so. Like I almost get why you would do it, but then they did.
They didn't
just
even try.
Such a bad job.
Just didn't even try.
Just off. And I think we could almost end it on that. Yeah, but I love just like almost anything like that's Christmassy, except for like the millions of like Hallmark Christmas movies they make a year.
Yeah,
but I just love watching this stuff.
It's a terrible one where they even the movie calls out how it's just a ripoff of Groundhog's Day.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. All right. So how are your touch controllers going?
Oh my god, these are so amazing!
Like I always try this stuff out at trade shows,
mm-hmm.
and like I almost don't. I almost like don't get the point of it if you don't have these controllers, because that's what really sells you in.
I agree with you.
Yeah, right?
The fact that these weren't, I mean, I understand, like, it was get something out, and I guess they had to. It's dumb that they've now splintered the fan base, I guess. Mm. But man, this is what I've been waiting for. The fact that this is in my basement, and like I told you, not in a mid-90s Las Vegas arcade.
Right, I can just do this.
That you pay $20 to go for 5 minutes is mind-blowing to me. Mm-hmm. So I went, like, all in on this. Because I pre-ordered, I got a couple free games. They give everyone a couple free games. I did their, like, launch bundle. It was, like, $90 for 5 games. So I got all those. I haven't even gotten through everything yet. I'm still, like, working my way through all the shit I got. Standout experiences so far. Probably the best one I've played that I really like. You know, it's a toss-up between two. Super Hot VR.
Oh, yeah.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
So Super Hot came out earlier this year. And the whole idea was it's an FPS where nothing moves until your character moves. And it allows you to kind of more thoughtfully string together these impossible John Woo things where, like, you punch a guy, he, like, throws his gun in the air, you reach up, catch it. But now you're doing all that in VR with your hands. And it's the same rule applies, but, like, move means you turn your head, you bend over, you move your hand. It actually creates this funny situation because there will be scenes where there's, like, unarmed guys running at you. Mm-hmm. And you, like, need them to move. So you're just, like, sitting here, like, put up your dukes, like, swinging your fists around or, like, whining up a punch or something dumb. But, like, you'll, like, pull this shit together, especially if, like, it's a little puzzle gamey. Like, you'll die and you have to go back to the beginning. Yeah. You're like, okay, let's figure this out. So when you get to, like, the beginning kind of rote parts, you just kind of know what to do. And you're just like, ha, boom, bam.
It's kind of
like,
fun.
Taking guys out, like, real fast. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I definitely want to try that one.
It's incredible. The other amazing one is called The Unspoken. This is the game that I've been, like, anticipating.
Just the Insomniac Blizzard
thing. Yeah, so this
thing.
Is the Insomniac. It's PvP-focused wizard duels set in modern-day Chicago. So, kind of Doctor Strange, the game.
Yeah, I guess so.
A little bit of Harry Potter. And, you know, the basics of it is you got a fireball spell in your right hand, a shield in your left, if you're the fire class. There's different classes. And you teleport around to these pedestals, and you're half of the arena, so there's no movement. That's how VR handles a lot of movement is teleporting.
It's kind of the way to do it.
It works really well.
Because you don't get that sickness.
So, you know, to throw this fireball, you squeeze in the trigger, you see this fireball forming in your hand, you feel it rumbling, and then you just throw it at the guy.
Right.
It's like super visceral. Then the next stage of spells up from that are you have to get these little power nodes that you can destroy your opponents so they can't use them. So that's kind of like the balancing act. And there's 3 spells there. Like, so for the defensive spell, you actually have to cross your arms in front of yourself, wait for it to charge, and, like, throw your arms down.
That's pretty cool.
And it, like, puts a barrier.
So it's kind of like all this, like, connects up, but now it actually works because it
exactly.
can actually track you.
Exactly. And you can actually see your hands doing it. The artifact abilities, which are, like, you have to do little hand-based mini-games almost. One, you pick up this hammer, and an anvil appears in front of you with runes on it. You have to, like, hammer these runes to create a powered-up lance that you throw at the guy. So usually what I'll try to do is, like, create the bubble barrier so I could do that without being attacked. Another one, you actually pick up a piece of paper. You have to fold it into a paper airplane.
Yeah.
And when you throw the paper airplane, it turns into these 2 holographic bombers.
Oh, yeah, I want to try this out. That sounds cool.
And then the final bit, it's almost like a Smash Ball in Smash Brothers appears. Mm. Whoever can burst it gets a golem. But you have to assemble the golem. It's kind of
like the hidden monkey.
Exactly, except harder because they're like kind of not obvious shapes. So you have to like build this thing and then it spawns this giant creature in the arena who fights on your behalf for a little bit. Just for how visceral it is. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And it's so natural. That's what's so cool about it. Like you immediately get it. There's so little like having to remember like what do these buttons do and what's the combo. You just do it.
Yeah.
Which is so neat.
Yeah, I'm excited to try some of it. You got to play Bullet Train, right?
Bullet Train, which is the tech demo that Unreal released. It's being developed into a further... Yeah, epic. It's being developed into a full game. They tease at the end. But same thing. It's a teleport from node to node, shooting guns kind
of
deal.
You can, like, pick up guns out of nowhere.
Yeah, pick them up. You could pick up and toss grenades. Mm. And the conceit of it is, for whatever reason, your guy has some sort of time bubble around you. So as bullets approach, they slow down.
Right.
Which means you can literally grab bullets out of the air and like throw them at guys.
You can do it like rockets later.
Yeah.
And like one of my favorite things about that is like one of those ones where it's like it knows like you can like it approximates where your fingers are on kind of the grip of the gun.
So the way that works, all the buttons are capacitive, even like the thumbstick. So it, like if it doesn't feel your thumb on a button, it assumes you're doing a thumbs up basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the games that fully support that, Super Hot does not, but Bullet Train does, Unspoken does, and I Expect You to Die, which was actually developed in Pittsburgh. Okay. These are the guys who made Toy Story Midway Mania.
Oh.
Yeah. So this game is you're a super spy who's always getting caught or is in some kind of weird situation where you have to escape some sort of villainous death trap.
That's funny. Sharks with laser beam.
Yeah. So the first level, you're in a car in a plane and you need to drive this car out of the plane. So first you have to try to start the car, but when you do, like a retina scanner comes and when it sees you're not the guy, it like tries to kill you with a laser. So you have to literally lean to the side to avoid this laser. Then you have to like disarm a bomb and get a screwdriver and take apart this panel and load a piece of the now defused bomb into a weapon ejector to blow out the back of the plane, turn the car on, put it in drive, drive out the front. Like,
now,
it's so incredible.
Now, all these things, though, like, they're still kind of like smaller experiences away. Do you think there will be a day where you will play like an 8-hour game, like completely like this?
Well, I think so. I think the Unspoken could be the like kind of beginnings of what would be a full single player like spell casting game.
Like that would be that's something I would almost kind of look forward to.
More. Same thing. Like I mean, Super Hot.
I guess that's kind of already.
I play that for an hour at a time.
Yeah,
which I've never done with a VR game before.
Now, have you been playing any Final Fantasy, or is this kind of taken up?
No, I'm still going back to Final Fantasy. Real quick before I leave touch, I need a bigger basement.
Yeah,
I am hitting my hands on the ceiling constantly because I've kind of a low
ceiling. It's not exactly an easy fix, Edge guy.
Yeah, my touch controllers have like those little white scuffs from the drop ceiling tiles, which I've had to be like, well, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Not much I could do about it. Oh, I got to do the Trials and Tatooine thing, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, because this is the nice thing about Steam VR. Completely compatible with the touch controllers out of the box.
But, like, did you get the haptic part in that?
Yes.
That
works. It's part of the, if you turn on the Steam VR beta.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Isn't that cool?
That was so cool.
I mean, you pick up that lightsaber. It does, like, that music from Return of the Jedi when R2 shoots it to Luke. I'm just like, I just sat there like they do this great thing like while the credits are rolling you still hold the lightsaber. Yeah. I'm just like,
ah. No, that is like just it's like the ultimate like touch controller kind of thing to
do. Yeah. Oh my God, that was incredible. I loved every second of that. But yes, Final Fantasy 15. Holy shit, do I love this game.
I'm so pleased.
I so love it.
It's like so and it's funny because I have all these things I should be playing. I'm still playing Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, for you to go back to a game
I'm playing it because there's so much more to do. There's all these kind of like there's these dungeons I'm going to now which are just completely optional.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't feel like optional dungeons. You still have like all the incidental dialogue that's unique to it. All these missions there, like one of them, it's not even like necessarily dungeons. One of them was just like climbing up a mountain,
yeah,
and like stuff like that.
Wait, I so the two big things I did last time I played, I did the Titan fight.
Oh yeah,
which it's not a hard fight,
right? And like a lot of the summon fights are kind of like that. They're very cool,
but it's
looking.
So cool looking. Oh right. My God! But then, so after that, I was at the Chocobo Farm, and I never went there. Like you had the option to go there before. I even said I would, and never did.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this until you rent a Chocobo. You have to do a quest there because there's a
behemoth
terrorizing the land, right. And you pick it up like you do any of the other hunt contracts. So just go to a spot and kill this monster. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do this real quick.
Right.
It's a whole outdoor dungeon,
yeah,
where you're like tracking this thing and like, oh my God!
And this was
incredible.
Actually what the demo, like the main point of the demo that came with Final Fantasy Type Zero was.
Yeah, boy, I don't know why that wasn't publicly released. I would have been a lot more excited about this game if they did that.
Yeah, that whole sequence was just really,
yeah,
cool.
That was really well done. I am stunned, literally stunned at how much I enjoy this game.
That's good, yeah.
Like it again, I'm a little sidetracked. I'm like, oh my God, virtual reality.
Yeah,
but. When I'm sitting down in front of my TV, like I thought I'd be like finishing Gears next or playing more Titanfall 2 multiplayer. I'm just playing Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Can't turn it off.
Yes.
Love it. Absolutely
love it. There's just some cool. There's still a lot of just really cool things in store too. That kind of. Oh my gosh! It's interesting. Actually, they're gonna update the game to add a few more cutscenes to explain one character's motivation, they said. And also, there's a chapter in the game that's towards the end of the game that I complained about, reviewed, that is not a good chapter that they said they're going to try to make better.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, right?
See if they beat me to it. I doubt it.
Yeah, we'll see.
I like, too, like, so I did one of the first main dungeons, too, while I was playing last week. And boy, like, even though, like I was significantly over-leveled from what the quest said, but it was tough.
That's what's kind of nice about it.
No joke.
Because it's not just dice rolls. Like, it's not just a matter of, like, you know, what's your level. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still dodging things.
They just threw enough shit at you. I mean, what really gets you is when your max HP goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like,
and that's when, like,
so that's when I'm like, oh, I have not been buying enough of these items. I need to go
get more. That's the other thing, too, is, like, because, like, you know, you don't really have cure spells, quote unquote. You can add cure properties to some of the spells you can cast, but spells in general, you're not casting very often.
Yeah.
So you do need, like, a lot of those cure items. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're a party member, if you're in a town, you're kind of low, they even say, like, we need to resupply our curatives and stuff like that.
Yeah, they tell you.
Yeah, you're right.
I love just the interplay between the four characters. It's all so damn good. Just, I'm stupefied at how good this game is. It's so weird to me.
That that's out, it's good, Last Guardian's out, and that's another thing I should be playing, but I'm just playing Final Fantasy 15. So here's a weird thought for next week. But when we record next week's episode, we'll have seen Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah, I guess we're talking about next week.
Yeah, right, so.
Oh, I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped.
It's going to be fun. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store. We always appreciate it when you go there and leave us a review. And, we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.